This is Pastor Greg Cumbie from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. Join the full throng, wake harp and psalter and song, sound forth in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, who as on wings of an eagle uplifteth, sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires all have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who hath fearfully, wondrously made thee. Health hath vouchsafed, and when heedlessly falling hath saved thee. What need or grief ever hath failed of relief, brings of His mercy did shed thee. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee, who from the heavens the streams of His mercy doth send thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with His love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the His people again, gladly for they we adore Him.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, if you were to look back over your life, a number of days will likely stand out, whereas the majority probably would not. Some of you here today, a little older than I am, remember vividly the day that JFK was shot. Others remember the day in space the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded. Most of us here today remember September the 11th, 2001. On the personal level, you may remember a particular Christmas or birthday or special family vacation, your wedding day. And on the other side, there are days that are forever seared in our memory in which we experience severe pain, tragedy, or loss. Some days in our lives are more significant than others. In our Old Testament reading, Jeremiah speaks to the people of Jerusalem about some supremely important, crucial, standout days, in fact, the most important days in human history. And the phrase he uses repeatedly is, those days. That's what Jeremiah says. And whenever he describes those days, they sound like pretty great days. Jeremiah declared that those days are coming. But here today, in the house of God's worship, you and I are celebrating those days that have already come. They came with the birth and the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God was walking around this world in human flesh. Jesus came preaching the good news of God's kingdom, healing the sick and driving out demons, suffering and dying for our sins on the cross, rising on the third day, and ascending to God the Father in heaven. Those were the days when our Savior Jesus walked visibly in this world, and he won our salvation. So they are the most important days this world has ever seen. In fact, they are the centerpiece of human history. Jeremiah the prophet would occasionally pause and he would point the people to those days. But here's the thing. The people in Jeremiah's time, like people in every age, had very little interest in those days. What they were interested in was their own days and the right now needs of their lives. Forget about those days. These are the days that count. These are my days. I have rent to pay. I have health concerns. I have a difficult job or boss. I have to be concerned about trying to eat better and exercising more, getting the kids to sports or music lessons, remodeling the basement. I have retirement investments to navigate, political causes to espouse or oppose, hobbies to pursue, a favorite sports team to root for. I have mouths to feed, grass to mow, cars to fix, Jeremiah. So talk to me about these days, because these are the days that I really care about. And you know, in the press of such concerns, valid concerns, countless Israelites had turned aside to other sources of help. They neglected the words of God's prophets. They abandoned the worship of the true God by not attending it. They turned eventually to false gods and to false prophets. They turned to prophets whose messages focused on the here and the now rather than those days. And really, people of God, there's so many parallels. In one sense, this text is so ancient. In another sense, it's so modern. People are people. The most popular preachers in Jeremiah's day, and there's several chapters devoted to them, were no different than the most popular preachers today. Tell people exactly what they want to hear. Tell them that health, wealth, and prosperity are just around the corner. Teach them the power of positive thinking rather than the power of Jesus Christ applied by the Holy Spirit, and the flesh will follow you in droves. So Israel at this time turned to the gods of neighboring people. Gods who worshiped focused on guaranteeing a good crop for this year or protecting them from current geopolitical dangers, or by multiplying the number of their herds this year. Century after century, this has gone on. The Israelites forsaking their God to run after false gods that would always focus on their right now needs. And century after century, God would send them a handful of true prophets to his people to warn them and to turn them back, and to turn their focus and hope in God's promises in those days, which are the days in which the Almighty Son of God would descend from heaven to save us. Well, finally, in Jeremiah's generations, God is patient, but his patience is not infinite in one sense. His patience with Jerusalem ended. The time really for loving discipline had long passed, and the time for judgment had arrived. So in punishment for their unbelief and idolatry, God announced that he would bring the Babylonian army, which was a superpower of the day, against Jerusalem. He told Jeremiah, "I have had enough. I have made up my mind to destroy the city. I will level it, and nothing will change it." That was the situation in which our text this morning was originally spoken. And once again, this text is ancient but modern, but sometimes a modern illustration helps. Can you imagine if there were a preacher, a prophet today, who God was sending to us, and he's telling the American people, because of your unrepentant sin of abortion and the many, many other sins, I'm going to send your nation's enemies to completely overpower you. North Korea, China, name it. They're coming for you, and they will succeed. What would happen to that pastor? Well, the same thing that happened to Jeremiah. They threw him into a pit, or they may even crucify him. Even if what he said was 100% true, they would say, that kind of sounds like treason to me. And so the people in Jeremiah's day, and this is a very interesting study in itself, they passed the spiritual test of faithfulness in adversity. Of faithfulness in adversity. And this is a principle we find running throughout Scripture, being faithful in small things and great things. If you want to test the genuineness of a person's faith, of a congregation's faith, of a denomination, don't watch them too carefully when things are going well. Instead, watch them carefully when things are not going particularly well, or they do not get their way regarding something. Does that denomination, congregation, individual Christian, do they think and respond and act as a mature Christian in which the grace of God is evident? Or do they react, perhaps sinfully, to the point to where an outside observer looking in at that moment would have no idea whatsoever that they are watching a Christian in action? And this is a really important topic. Pastors don't speak about it very much, but it's all throughout Scripture. It's kind of funny, you know, I was thinking in seminary, you don't figure out a lot of things until your very last year. Isn't that the way life works? In seminary, you don't figure out, generally speaking, until your senior year, how many times your professors deliberately put you into uncomfortable, unpleasant situations. At the time, you're thinking, well, maybe they don't like me, maybe they're busy, etc., etc. What they were doing, and sometimes if you ask them, they'll tell you, they were gauging your spiritual maturity by trying to push your buttons. Would you react? Would you respond? Sometimes we succeeded, sometimes we failed. But as a general rule, students who were seen as being reactionary people washed out of seminary as a kindness to them, because they would definitely wash out of their first call in the ministry. But thankfully, there was still a relatively small number of faithful Israelites, both then and today, following a true prophet, representing the true God, and speaking his truth regardless of whether or not people wanted to hear it. To the faithful people of Jerusalem, in this very desperate situation of an imminent Babylonian invasion, Jeremiah speaks the very simple words of our text, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, or in his days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will finally dwell securely." What kind of reaction do you suppose Jeremiah got to these wonderful words of promise? What they said, essentially, to summarize or paraphrase, "Jeremiah, we're tired of you. Leave the city. Take all of your irrelevant, someday down the road promises with you. We don't need a God who will challenge us or promises to help us in those days. We want prophets who will speak peace for this day, telling us the Babylonian invasion for our sin is not going to happen." By the way, Jeremiah, have you noticed that there are 250,000 Babylonian soldiers armed to the teeth surrounding our walls? So God took his hand of protection off, and it wasn't long before Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians, as Jeremiah had foretold. This beautiful city of God, and we have many ancient accounts not in the Bible regarding how beautiful it was torn apart. All of the great walls were toppled. The temple of God was looted and destroyed. The prince or king of the city who led the rebellion was taken before the Babylonian general, who killed all of his sons before his eyes and then ordered the prince's eyes to be gouged. And at that point, he was led with the people in chains to a life of exile in far-off Babylon. But a remnant remained. Those few among them who listened to Jeremiah still placed their hopes in the promises of God's word, and they were not disappointed. They understood the principle that in spite of present hardship, sometimes bitter hardship, they by faith clung to the promises of God. In spite of the present hardship, and maybe in some sense by God's grace because of it, they set their heart not on this one day, their own day, but on that great day and time which was coming. And by the way, you and I will one day meet all of these faithful Israelites and rejoice with them when Jesus comes to take us home. Those days are coming, God promised. And come they did. 600 years later, at God's own perfect time, God made a new branch that no one saw coming sprout from the line of King David. That's what we sang about. His name was Jesus, God's own son, and he came to Judah and to Jerusalem to fulfill every single prophet that God made through Jeremiah about him. He conquered sin and death and hell. He restored the relationship between God and his fallen people. He won eternal victory for God's people over all of his enemies and our enemies, eternal security for each and every one of us, eternal joy for each and every one of us, an eternal kingdom for each and every one of us. Those days, Jesus' days, are God's source of true help and comfort for all of his people, also for us living today in 2021. The significance and power of Jesus' earthly life extends far beyond the day when he ascended to the Father and was hidden by the clouds. The saving strength, the merciful favor of God for you today is rooted and anchored in those days, and the life and the work of Jesus Christ come in the flesh for you 2,000 years ago. And people of God, you notice the colors have changed today. That's why the church observes a church year, a liturgical calendar, year after year after year. What are we doing? Why do we do it? Well, we are by faith rehearsing the life of Christ over and over and over again. From Advent to Christmas and Epiphany, from Lent to Easter, from Ascension to Pentecost, all of our scripture readings, all of our hymns direct our attention to the saving life and the work of Jesus Christ. The church year directs our attention to those days which God tells us are the most important days that we can know. And so as we begin another church year today, on this first Sunday in Advent, we fix our eyes, we set our hearts on those days. Those are the days that truly matter the most. Those are the days that give you comfort and give your life meaning. Those are the days in which each of you have staked your eternal destiny. And those are the days that bring the light of hope to a sometimes very dark world. As we hear from the scriptures about Jesus' life of love, we encounter his revelation of God's true heart, his profound love, and the true pattern and the meaning of life. Today, as we gather to eat this bread, which is his body, and to drink this cup, which is his blood, we do so in remembrance of those days of Christ's saving work, and we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Because of Jesus' death 2,000 years ago, all of your sin and guilt today is removed. At the baptismal font, as our Lord gives us new life and holy baptism, he does so by the power of Christ's resurrection applied by the Holy Spirit. Because of his resurrection 2,000 years ago, you now have the pledge of eternal life and glory today. So to wrap it up, some days are more important than others, more outstanding, more special, more crucial. For those who know Jesus Christ, those days, his days, are the most important and the precious of all. You know, the reason that we stand for the Holy Gospel reading is not because the four Gospels are somehow more inspired, which is really an impossible concept, than other portions of Scripture. Christ authored all the Scripture. The reason why the early Christians stood for the Gospel reading was very simple. It was out of remembrance and respect and the memory of those days in which they walked alongside God incarnate on earth. Throughout today's sermon, we've been looking backward to those days of Jesus. But there is another great day. Jesus calls it that day. That day is yet coming. Our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us when the heavens above will be shaken, and we will see Jesus coming on the clouds with power and glory. Even as we fix our eyes on those days, 2,000 years ago, the days of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, we are called as Christians to watch future for that day, just as our Lord says. So during this Advent, and the flood of your everyday worries and busyness and concerns, ask God by his grace to help set your heart on that day. That's what Advent's about. Because of his saving work for us at his first coming, when Jesus comes a second time, he will raise up all of the dead. He will give eternal life and place in his eternal kingdom all who trust in him. Thousands upon thousands, perhaps millions of his saints will rise from the dust on that day, and we will shine with them like the stars forever. Jeremiah will be there. You will meet him. You will meet all of those who trusted in Jeremiah's word. In the words of verse 16, in those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. On that day, all of our many troubles will finally come to an end, and God and his Messiah, King Jesus, will reign forever and ever. And at last, our Lord Jesus, our King, will establish perfect justice and righteousness in us and among us. Jesus promises us that day is coming soon. Some days are more important than others. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.